Live from Los Angeles, it's the Life Changes Show.
Look at the bright lights. Look at the bright lights.
We'll with tonight's guest, pioneering entrepreneur and author of Disrupt You, J. Look Allen Sammet.
Night sky. Look at the night sky.
And musical guest Will Arnold with John Gardner. I am Mark Legere, and now your host, the MC, the master of change, Filippo Voltaggio.
Happy New Year, everybody. This is such an exciting year. I can't think of a better way to start a new year. I was about to say a show. I can't think of a better way to start a show than with me and a new year than with our guest, J. Sammet. As the first show of the year, and this year is different. I feel it. I don't know about you all, but I have to tell you, every New Year's Eve, or just about the couple days before New Year's Eve, I start to think how much I hated the year before. It was something that my friends or my circle of friends or my family, it was something that we all just seemed to do. Maybe I saw it on TV. Maybe we got it. We talked about it in school growing up. I don't know. But we used to think, oh, I can't wait for this year to be over, right? I mean, next year is going to be better. I can't wait for next year to start and let's get over with. And even my hairstylist and everybody's like, oh, can't wait, huh? And that's where I've been every year. And this year, I noticed something different. I was thinking, wow, this was a really good year. And this happened this year, and this happened this year, and I met this person this year, and that person, and the show was fun, and that show. And I was getting excited about how great the year was. And I was, in a way, kind of sad to see it go, and at the same time, excited about the coming year. And I was saying, wow, if last year was so good, then next year is going to be so great. And then I thought, well, if all the other years I couldn't wait for the year to end, and then the year that came after was another dud year, maybe the fact that I was excited that I had such a great year last year meant that this year is going to be even better. So I thought, okay, well, is it that last year was so good and that I'm so excited about this coming year? Is that was it really that good? Because then I started to think, I could think of a lot of things that could have made last year awful that I'm really happy to see end. But I didn't want to dwell on that. And I thought, well, was it that much of a good year, or did I completely change the way I think? Did I completely change the way I think about the years that are behind me and the year that is immediately behind me? And I thought, you know what? It was a good year. But I changed the way I looked at my year, and I'd like to continue. I'm going to continue to look at the year like that. And I'm starting right now to think, that this year is a great year. And I know that by the end of it, I will have proved it. So I just know it. And I'll be excited about the year after. And sure enough, I get home late this morning, actually, or early this morning, I should say. And there was a holiday card from our friend and the show's friend, Shadow Steven. You all know, we've talked about him. We've had him on the show many times. And there was a holiday card addressed to our executive producer, Dorothy Donahue, and myself. And every year he sends these amazing cards. But this year was the first year ever his cards had quotes. And is it a coincidence? But these are the quotes that were in his card this year from Shadow Stevens. World peace through self-peace, Yogi Raj. What can you do to promote world peace? Go home and love your family, Mother Teresa. The mind is everything. What you think, you become, Buddha. We can never obtain peace in the outer world until we make peace with ourselves, Dalai Lama. I'm reading these right off the card, aligned right with my thinking. I love it. To put the world right in order, we must first put the nation in order. To put the nation in order, we must first put the family in order. To put the family in order, we must first cultivate our personal life. We must first set our hearts right. Confucius. And that I couldn't agree with more. Thank you, Shadow Stevens. And actually, we've got a lot more quotes coming. We got quotes from the man who's king of the quotes, actually, and so much more. J. Allen Samet is our guest today. And a little later on, we're going to have violinist Will Arnold. Stay with us here on the Life Changes Show on our Happy New Year first show of the year.
True performance takes more than just working out. Every day we demand more from our body. But what does your body demand? Hunger is not your body's call for empty calories. It's your body asking for nutrients it's lacking. It's time to reward your body with Boku Superfood. Made from the world's finest organic ingredients, vitamins, minerals, amino acids, and essential trace nutrients. All developed naturally and organically from nature's most nutrient-dense foods. Boku Superfood is quite possibly the best thing you can feed your body. So listen to your body. Reward it with pure, raw, beautiful food. Boku Superfood.
You are listening to The Life Changes Show, live from Studio NoHo on the BBS Radio Network. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows, which include luminaries such as Marianne Williamson, Gary Anthony Williams, Sharon Stone, and Alex Gray on our archive page at lifechangesshow.com. Or you can visit us online via Twitter at Life Changes Show and Facebook at The Life Changes Show.
We're back. I'm Filippo Voltaggio, and with us is Mark Legere. Years of doing this show, it worked.
It absolutely worked.
I changed. My life changed.
You changed, and we have changed. But I tell you what, you reminded me of a story, and this is where we're a little the same yet different, but it reminded me of when I think I was five, and it was one of the first New Year's experiences that I had that I remembered, and I actually felt sorry for the outgoing year. So I couldn't figure out why everybody's celebrating. I was like, it was a great year. Why is everybody, you know, who cares about the next one? So it was an interesting perspective. And
but I'm sure life fixed you on that.
It did. I have life changes, yes.
And now you're back.
Yeah, indeed.
And now you're back to five. Hey, there's a book right there.
There it is.
Well, speaking of books, our guest is J. Allen Samet. His book, Disrupt You, has reached the top of the charts. It's a best-selling book already, and it just came out, I think, a couple months ago. I have to read this. I normally don't do this, but I just love this. Everyone from the Pope to the President calls on Samet to orchestrate positive change in the era of endless innovation. He is a serial disruptor, a best-selling author, an innovator, and a business strategist. Please welcome to the show, J. Allen Samet.
Hey, thanks for having me.
It's great to have you here. We know your schedule is so busy promoting the book and speaking all over the world, so to have you in the studio is a special treat, and thank you for kicking off the year with us so beautifully.
Yeah, it's cool to be here.
Well, actually, I said kicking off the year, but what we should say is thank you for disrupting the year. What do we mean by that? What, disrupt you. Tell us
so
what
let me,
that means.
Let me define my favorite way of looking at disruption. Innovation is where you keep on making something incrementally better. So in the Bronze Age, we made a little knife, and then it became a bigger knife, and then it became a sword, and swords, you know, ruled kingdoms and princes and all that stuff. And then you have that scene in the streets of Cairo from Indiana Jones with the big Arab swordsman with the scimitar, and he's swinging in, and then he pulls out the Smith & Wesson, and boom, that's disruption.
Right.
You don't think about swords anymore, right? So we're now living in this era where 100-year-old companies are being disrupted by self-made billionaires in their 20s almost every month. What's different? We're now carrying in our pocket a device that connects us to 6 billion people. You only have to be right for a nanosecond and you're a billionaire. So it's really about looking at all the opportunity that, whether you're in technology or not, that connects us, that we're all hearing this show right now. And if you can tap into what's different in the world, all that an entrepreneur does is solve problems. So if you have problems in your life, congratulations, you're halfway there. If you have a perfect life and you grow up with a silver spoon, well, then maybe run for president. But what we're really looking at is a time where it doesn't take much capital. There's tremendous amounts of capital available to anybody. You just have to learn how to ask. Between crowdfunding, which is really the most zen-like way of raising money, it's controlled by no one and accessible to everyone. VCs doubled the amount of capital they put out there to $40 billion. You know, for venture capitalists to stay in business, they have to give away that money. I've raised hundreds of millions of dollars, almost $800 million for startups. So Disrupt You really gets to the central core, which is before you want to change the world, you have to change yourself. You have to stop listening to those people that gave up on their dreams and told you couldn't do your dreams. You can't do this. You can't do that. And once you realize that you can, then you realize we live in a malleable world of change. And so you take a problem in your life. Two guys in Tel Aviv were stuck in traffic. We've all been stuck in traffic.
Mm-hmm.
One guy looks at the other one and says, wait a second. The phone company knows where my phone is. It knows where the other guy's phone is. We tell him to make a right and me to make a left. And that was the genesis of Waze. Right? Billions of dollars. You don't have to be an engineer, right? I was involved in the beginning of things like eBay and LinkedIn and first video on a computer. I've never written a line of code. Steve Jobs wasn't an engineer. Okay. It's really about looking at opportunities instead of looking at these things as obstacles. They're all opportunities. So it's a great time to be alive.
You just said so much. You do realize that we could talk on several shows just on what you just said.
Yeah, but you're only giving me 30 minutes, so I'm going to talk fast.
So you're going to get it all in.
I'm here to change the world.
My mind is like, whoa. Actually, tell us why. Why this?
So
why disrupt you?
So I've been very successful. Life's good, and that's wonderful. But the purpose of life is to live a life of purpose. Right? You can't be immortal, but what you create can live long beyond you. So what did you learn? What do you have to give back and share? And so I'm looking around at the big problems facing the world today, the big, big problems. And the biggest problems is we have 2.3 billion millennials. Mm. That is more people in this one generation than were on the entire planet when my parents were born.
Wow.
There are not jobs for 2.3 billion people. There will not be jobs. So when you look at the Spanish economy, when you look at the Greek economy, when you look at Ferguson, Missouri and the problems in our country, and when you look at ISIS, this isn't race, religion, or culture. This is massive unemployment for a generation that's lost. Mm. So if we can take that instead of, you know, woe is me and say, wait a second, are there problems out there? Can you solve them? How easy is it to do it? And get people on a course of empowerment, then suddenly you have a world that is solving problems, getting better. We want to live in a world where other people are solving our problems.
Mm.
So trying to teach that.
The purpose of life is to live a life of purpose. I've never heard that before. That's
Don't you agree?
I agree. Was that you? Did you coin that?
I've been saying it for years.
Yeah. Well, you just coined that. Wow. You just coined one of my favorite phrases right here on the show.
There you go.
Thank you. Well, no wonder I called you the king of quotes. I just threw that back. I coined that today for you. But
Twitter gets you to be very short and precise.
Yeah.
So I have over 100,000 entrepreneurs that look for daily motivation because motivation is like a shower. It doesn't last too long. And so I tweet it out to really try to help people because there's enough people out there to tell you that you can't do it, right?
Mm.
You know, listen to all the haters out there. They'll be hating you until one day they give you their resume. I mean, the world is really not going to believe you when you have your new idea.
Wow. Oh, yes.
And by the way, when you read and disrupt you, I don't tell you to foster your idea like a newborn kitten and pet it and stroke it. Your new idea needs to be killed. Your idea sucks. Your purpose is to go out there with your new idea and go to as many people that can tell you what's wrong with it. And when you finally can't kill it and you have what I call a zombie idea, then you go out and raise money. Plus, all those iterations didn't cost you any money. And nowadays, it costs 95%, and you were a Wall Street banker, it's 95% less money to start a company today than it did a decade ago.
Right.
The social networks are all in place. I mean, I've heard from readers in 141 countries. I had to make a list because I didn't know that many countries, right? Mm. We are all so interconnected and interlaced. So what makes you unique? I'll tell you the best piece of advice I ever got in my life. It was be the best at what you are, or the only one doing it. Mm. Because if you're the only one doing it, by definition, you're the best. So when you look at these people that are self-proclaimed experts, where did the Bitcoin expert come from? Where did the Internet of Things expert, the virtual reality expert come from? They woke up one day and said, I'm an expert. And then they fought like hell to defend that turf. I did the same thing a long time ago. I just happened to get on the internet before anybody knew what it was. And then you stake out different opportunities. Did I always pick the best one? No, but there was so much to be created. Anybody made money and everybody made money. None of these billionaires that you know were special. Most of the billionaires from Silicon Valley never made a profit. Hmm. Imagine becoming a billionaire without ever making a profit. It's mind-blowing. But these same concepts of how to disrupt the value chain of any business, it could be a dry cleaner, it could be a restaurant. Got 2 seconds for a restaurant story? Number one failing business is restaurants. Why? Somebody says, wow, I've got a great recipe. You've got a great Italian recipe. Grandma's meatballs. Oh, my God.
And I do.
That has nothing the heck to do with a successful restaurant? Mm-hmm. So a guy looked at disrupting and breaking down the value chain of a restaurant. Number one, too many things on the menu. Nobody orders the fish. There's your profits, right? Mm-hmm. So he says, I'm going to make a restaurant with only three items. Number two is everybody comes at the same time. They don't spread it out. So at lunch, if two people sit at a booth for four, you can't monetize those other two chairs. Mm. So he's only going to serve seat full tables. It's going to make people sit with strangers. Mm. Number three, while you're waiting for enough people to fill a table, you're going to run up a bar tab. So you'll make more money at the bar. So now he says, what's a concept where you'll sit with a stranger, where you'll accept the menu with only three items that never change? And then he decides to make it Benihana.
Oh, wow.
He didn't set out to say, I like Japanese food. Mm. He set out to say, what's a concept that would be a profitable restaurant? See the difference?
Mm. Yes. It's like thinking of it backwards or something.
And I talk about that. Most people don't know how to get to their goal. And you create a disruptor's map is what I talk about in Disrupt You. And you start at the finish line and work backwards. Mm. You don't have to know all the steps to get there. Reid Hoffman, who wrote the intro, has a great explanation. An entrepreneur is somebody that jumps off a cliff and assembles a plane on the way down. So it's really, if you knew you wanted to be a doctor, you don't know what that takes, but you know you got to go to med school. And to get to med school, well, you better go to good college. And go to good college, you better pay attention to the seventh grade right now, right? You can start piecing it together. And there's tons of people that will help you. You can go online and find mentors. Don't go it alone.
I like this. I'm liking this. I think I like you.
Thank you.
I definitely do. So when we come back, we're going to have more of this. And actually, I'm going to be quoting you and then having you talk to it. If we can do that. We'll be right back with our guest, Jay Salmon. A little later on, Will Arnold is our musical guest. Stay with us here on the Life Changes Show.
Listen to these words. He would not be beat by forces too fierce for man, woman, or beast. As the going got tougher, his courage increased. It's a little story with a big message, a message that speaks to children of all ages. It's about believing in yourself, overcoming obstacles, and never giving up. It's been called a masterpiece, one of the finest children's books ever written, and a true children's classic. Shadow Stevens has been called Dr. Seuss for the 21st century. His big little book, The Big Galoot, is a story about bullying. Bullying has become an American epidemic, and the Big Galoot talks about it in a way that will touch the heart of a child of four and a grandfather of 104. It's the story of a little boy with size 42 hands, the biggest hands anyone has ever seen, and the kids laugh at him. Then the laughter turns mean. They mock him and trip him and much worse. But throughout it all, Warren Galoot says, I'm a galoot, but I have good luck. You can't get me down. I never give up. A second grader named Chandler said, I thought it was the best funny book I have seen in my life. And we agree. Whoopi Goldberg said, this is a great story. Bravo, Shadow. The Big Galoot is available now as an ebook exclusively on Kindle Fire on Amazon for only $3.98. We strongly urge you to get it for your children, your children's children, or as a gift to yourself. Its message speaks to all of us. Have good luck and never give up. Go to Amazon.com and search for The Big Galoot by Shadow Stevens.
You are listening to The Life Changes Show, live from Studio NoHo on the BBS Radio Network. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows, which include luminaries such as The Green Children, Dan Millman, Hot Rod Fuller, and Mike Marino on our archive page at lifechangesnetwork.com. You can also follow us online via Twitter at Life Changes Show and Facebook at The Life Changes Show.
We're back and we're having a great time. I hope you are too. I'm Filippo Voltaggio, sitting here with Mark Legere, having a great conversation with our guest, Jay Allen Salmon, who's written Disrupt You. It's a best-selling book, just came out a couple months ago. And here's one of the quotes that I really liked. I think it'd be great to start off. Self-disruption is akin to undergoing major surgery, but you are the one holding the scalpel. Wow, what an imagery.
Well, people are afraid of change. We develop habits out of comfort, out of not having to think and deal with it. And what happens over life is we start to accept that that's the way we are.
Yes.
As a young child, I was told, not to expect success. I couldn't read. I was dyslexic. I didn't speak till I was four. So you go down this path of thinking you're less than. I mean, it starts at 5 years old when there's three reading groups, the Hawks, the Eagles, and the Mud Hens, right? Mm-hmm. You know, 5 years old, you don't want to be a Mud Hen. Mm-hmm. But when we stop and realize I'm not 5 years old, right? And for me, when I was writing the book, I was saying, well, when did I try the self-disruption on myself? Because I've always been very attuned. Well, intellectually, yes. But I gave up on PE like in the fourth grade, okay? So at 40, I said, this isn't fair. Mm. I'm not that kid in fifth grade or seventh grade that, you know, wrestling was sanctioned to public school, get you beat you up. And so I said, okay, I'm going to learn how to be athletic because you can. Mm. And I dropped 40 pounds and I got in shape and, you know, you can change. Mm. And once you realize you can change yourself, then you realize you don't have limitations. Mm. You're as limitless as the universe. We're made up of the same things as everybody else. 70% of the billionaires in the world today are self-made. They didn't come for money. They didn't inherit money. Mm. They have the same 24 hours in a day that you and I do.
Yeah.
So what is stopping you from becoming a billionaire if that's what you want to do? Or if you're not money motivated, so the first third of the book's about changing yourself and how to do that. And this isn't tree hugging stuff. This is real, proven, working stuff. And then the second third is how to disrupt any type of business from design, manufacturing, retail, all the different businesses. But the third part of the book is my favorite, is if you're bored by that, how to change the world.
Mm, yeah.
And the world's got some big problems. So when I was just running a company with 20-some employees, I got a call one day from the President of the United States. Now, of course, I embarrassed myself because I thought, President's not going to call me. Who's this guy doing bad Bill Clinton impersonation?
Oh, no.
And turns out he does a really good Bill Clinton impersonation.
Sounds just like him, huh?
But anyway, makes short version, but I had this concept back in the late 90s that if I could get the internet into classrooms, we could have equal access to knowledge.
Mm.
So versus Brown versus School of Education, where certain schools had bad books and other schools had good books and whatever, the whole world, maybe some kids would just watch, you know, cats playing on the piano. But if everybody had access, what great minds could be inspired?
Mm.
So then the White House says, go and do it. And the short version of the story is they made me in charge of it. But one catch, there's not one dime of taxpayer money.
Mm.
18 months later, we had an internet connection in every classroom in the United States without $1 in taxpayer money. So you can make anything happen. You can solve these problems.
Wow.
And it's really a simple process. And it takes the same energy to open a dry cleaner as it does to change the educational system. It's just knowing where to begin and how to get a team around you and how to achieve your goals.
Okay. Yeah. I want to say easy for you to say, but actually, you know what you're talking about. So it's got to be relatable to everybody else. It's in the book.
Yeah. And the reason – so the book came out of I decided to give back by teaching college kids how to do this. And I, again, short version, one pair of kids in the class had a really good idea. I went, raised them their Series A, and their first year they did $150 million.
In their first year?
Yeah. So it was a good idea. Then I hosted a series for the Wall Street Journal called Startup of the Year. Everybody that got on there, almost everybody, did amazingly well because not only were the ideas good, but you now have a way to reach your entire audience at no cost through social media. I mean, whatever your audience is, senior citizens, left-handed golfers, it doesn't make a difference. And people need to use these tools for more than taking photos of what they ate for lunch.
Here, here. Okay, here's one that's near and dear to our hearts here at the Life Changes Show. Those that recognize the inevitability of change stand to benefit the most from it. Life Changes, hello.
Yeah, so Kodak invented the digital camera in 1975. Let that sink in your skull for a second.
Mm-hmm.
But if you were the executive in charge of the digital camera, you didn't have the margin potential of the guy with film, the guy in the corner office, the guy with 80% margins. Mm. So Kodak killed the digital camera, thinking that you could squash an idea in your company and it wouldn't happen anywhere else. And today, 100-year-old company Kodak is gone.
Mm.
Okay?
Mm.
So you have you live in a time that didn't exist before. We have tools and smartphones and self-driving cars and all these new things. And there are so many different businesses that come out of that that people haven't thought about that you can displace these 100-year-old companies because they're busy fighting yesterday's war. Mm. They're busy fighting their old competitor. When I was with Sony, was top executive globally. Sony saw their competition as the other Japanese electronics guys. Samsung, Panasonic, you know, Korean, you know, all that. They didn't see Google. They didn't see Apple. They didn't see the iPod, right?
Mm.
So you'll have tons of time. Dinosaurs will be fighting dinosaurs while you, the little mammals, are sitting there doing the next thing.
And this leads us beautifully into the next thing, because so many of us are taught, I'm only one person. And you're like dispelling all of that. So here, three in a row. No obstacle is so big that one person with determination can't make a difference. Hello, one person. Our world's future is far more malleable and controllable than most people realize. And the joy of disruption comes from accepting that we all live in a temporal state.
Yeah. So if you think of anybody, nobody that you know from history is notable because they followed the footsteps of somebody else. Nobody led a nation following somebody else unless your daddy was president and he bought you the presidency. But what you really have is the ability to say, I have a unique perspective. I'm the only person living my life. And because of that, I see a need. I see something unique. And I'll give you one that one of my readers contacted me, which is just absolutely brilliant. Have you ever seen those cheap Happy Meal watches? You know, they're like cost 6 cents to make. You get them free, a little digital watch.
Yeah.
Take that watch and put it on top of a pill bottle. Here's the problem. Did I just take my pills? I don't remember. You called. Then you look at the pill bottle. Every time you close the lid, it sets the clock.
Oh,
countdown.
Wow. Oh, wow.
Oh, it's been 4 minutes since I took my pill. Oh, yeah, I took my pill. Or, oh, it's been 9 hours. No, I didn't.
Wow.
How universal is that problem?
Yeah.
Now let's put the disruptor's hat on and let's say, okay, that's a nice little product and he's selling it. But what now that we have universal health care, what if we get a bill through Congress mandating that all pills have that? Because the effective use of prescriptions is the single biggest change that you can make to health care. Most people don't follow their prescriptions, and if they're not getting healthy, it's costing taxpayers more. So if this is now mandated, this guy now becomes a billionaire. Did he invent the watch? No. Did he invent the pill bottle? No.
No, and he certainly didn't invent the pills
inside.
Brilliant. Okay, here are another three in a row. The real challenge is for each of us to determine where we feel we can make the most impact. The majority of people are not willing to risk what they have built for the opportunity to have something better. And would you rather work 40 hours a week at a job you hate or 80 hours a week doing work you love?
So let's talk about people are afraid to lose their job.
Okay. Yeah.
First of all, a job isn't a wallet or a set of car keys. You can't lose a job. Knowingly, consciously, or unconsciously, you are making yourself dispensable or disposable. Okay? Mm. You're making yourself that they can get rid of you because you're not adding value that makes you invaluable. On the other hand, why are you trading a day of your life, a week of your life, a year of your life, 20 years of your life for something that doesn't give you satisfaction? Because it's a secure job? There is no such thing as a secure job. Okay? Mm. People say security robs ambition. It's the illusion of security that robs ambition. Of the Fortune 500 companies, the original ones on the list, only 57 are still on the list.
Wow.
So the idea that you're going to get that IBM job where you started and that job's going to be there forever, the gold watch isn't coming. Right. If you want to know how temporal our state is, the best-selling watch last year was the Apple Watch, which doesn't even last 24 hours. Think about that. If somebody had told you 10 years ago, they're going to come out with a watch, but you have to charge it every day, you'd look at them like, you're nuts, right? That's the dumbest watch I ever heard of. My grandfather's watch is perpetual motion. So the world is changing. Why not look at that change as an opportunity as opposed to something that to be fearful? 3D printing will wipe out 320 million manufacturing jobs. But at the same time, there's things that you can now make that you couldn't make before. Favorite one's happening here in LA. Love this. Imagine you have a child, a five-year-old boy, doesn't have fingers. You can't get him a prosthetic because they grow too fast and the cost of the prosthetic is over $100,000. So the first time that he'll get a prosthetic hand is probably at 15 or 16.
Wow.
Talk about feeling different and less than and being teased and not being part and withdrawn. And what effect will that have on that child's potential? And for the world, what that child might have created that's locked inside their brain. But now with 3D printing, you can make a custom thing in real time, very cheap. But this entrepreneur took it one step further. He went to Disney and said, here's this great product I'm making. Can I have a license to Star Wars, Frozen, Marvel? So the kid now can have an Iron Man hand, or a little girl can have a Frozen hand or a Star Wars hand. Mm. Now, instead of being less than in school when you're playing catch, you're cooler than, you're embraced, you're growing, you're thriving.
Wow.
All because of one piece of technology.
Wow. Wow. Tear in the eye time. Wow. I mean, I laughed, I cried, I learned. You're amazing. You're a one-man show.
Well, let me help your audience have the same type of growth potential. So in addition to Disrupt You, which is available audio, download, Amazon, anywhere you want, there's a workbook, a 40-page workbook, so people can start thinking their own ideas out. And if you follow the exercises, I can guarantee you that by the end of a month, you will have a $1 billion business opportunity in there. It's up to you to pursue it. But that's my gift to all your listeners. They can either reach out to me on Twitter at Jay Sammet or go to jsammet.com and I'll send them the book for free.
Well, that's what an awesome offer. I was going to say, if you like what Jay's saying, all this information and much, much more is in the book, Disrupt You. And that's everywhere you mentioned. And of course, going to jsammet.com. And Sammet is S-A-M-I-T. And for those who don't know, J is J-A-Y. So J-A-Y-S-A-M-I-T.com for the book and for all this information. They can follow you on Twitter like so many already are doing. And anywhere else, I mean, Facebook, and you do all that stuff. All that stuff.
I'm all over.
You're all over.
And
yeah, literally.
There's more coming every day, but I'm on a mission. I really believe that we can have a more amazing world. Did you enjoy Star Wars? Did you enjoy any blockbusters over the holidays?
I did, but let's yes. Well, go ahead.
All that I was going to say is imagine that you're now living in a time where people are willing to spend $200-300 million to entertain you for 2 hours. Imagine when people create all these other things, how much life is better for all of us. So it's selfish to help people.
I like that. Nice. Yeah, well, very nice. Well, that's a beautiful offer from Jay. So go to jsammet.com. That's where you said that they could take advantage of that, right? Thank you for that. We will be back with more of these. I have some more quotes, if you don't mind.
Awesome.
We'll be back with Jay Sammet a little later on. We're going to have Will Arnold play us in our first music of the year here on The Life Changes Show right after this.
The Life Changes Show is a premier radio show presented by the Life Changes Network, which is a company whose team has dedicated their lives not only to positive change, but to helping others observe and embrace, honor, and even celebrate their own changes, thus enabling a more positive, inspired life and helping to create a more positive and inspired world. From everyday people, celebrities, corporate giants, and children, we are here to help and to serve. With heart, integrity, and experience, we bring our message and positive intent into your lives through the Life Changes Show, LifeChangesNetwork.com, and through guest appearances on other inspiring shows and events. If you wish to learn more about Life Changes Life Coaching, a private consultation with one of us, corporate or live event appearances, or if you would like us to appear on your radio or TV shows, please email us at info@LifeChangesNetwork.com.
Music in the Starbucks. We are back. We're back. I'm sitting here with Mark Legere and Filippo Voltaggio, and our guest is Jay Allen Sammet, best-selling author, actually so many other things, serial disruptor, best-selling author, innovator, and business strategist. We've been having such a great time, and I should thank, at this time, Kimber Cabell, of CEO of Sang, speaker, author, network group, for introducing us, connecting us. Thank you, Kimber.
Thank you, Kimber.
Thanks, Kimber.
And we've called her the honorary guest producer for this segment because we just love it so much and love her as well. Jay Sammet. Jay, can I call you Jay?
Of course.
Okay. I love these because I try and be, I think I'm a fairly positive person and I try and be very positive, but I seem to find myself friends that are very negative.
Can I give you a tip for being positive?
Okay.
Because I wasn't born this way.
Okay.
I was raised in the Great Depression, my mother's. Here's two tips to get the most out of her day. Before we're given to you, just picture for a second. Have you ever heard a good idea from somebody in a negative state or in a funky mood?
No.
They shut down emotionally. No. There could be millions of dollars of opportunities and they're not going to see it. So just wake up and say these two sentences to yourself every day. One, today can be better than yesterday. And two, I have the power to make it so.
Mm.
And there's studies, it's called effectuation, and there's actual scientific studies that show that it increases sales, increases everything, because everybody thinks being successful will make you happy. No. Being happy makes you successful.
See, so you just answered this. I love that. Thank you. These are your quotes. A negative mind will never find success. I have never heard a positive idea come from a person in a negative state. That's what you said. And accepting that the odds are against you is the same as accepting defeat before you begin.
Sure.
So thank you for that. Well, actually, kind of in the same vein, here are three more quotes. The difference between successful and unsuccessful people is that successful ones know that the most unprofitable thing ever manufactured is an excuse.
Yeah.
Most startup failures result from entrepreneurs who are better at making excuses than products. And disruption isn't about what happens to you. It's about how you respond to what happens to you.
Right. So you hear lots of people walking around, oh, my parents were this, the this was that, the hoodoo. Everybody blames everybody else in the world.
And you had that.
Great, yeah. Nobody comes from a perfect world. Nobody's walking around, you know, la-di-da. But at some point, you have to take ownership for your time on this planet, okay? Because what doesn't roll off your back, you're going to carry on your back. So just move forward. And every time you're wasting today's energy on yesterday's issue, you're not building tomorrow. So spend today thinking about how you can make tomorrow better and get a piece of it and whatever it is that's important to you. So I'm not saying it's about money. It could be about family. It can be about community. It can be about church. It could be whatever, you know, finding your purpose is. But you'll find that you have the time, right? You don't have to be a maniac like I am, but there's enough time in the day to do almost anything. You know, my mom had a great expression, if you want to get something done, give it to a busy person.
Yeah.
And it's true. So, you know, when I ask some of these very, very busy, you know, leaders and famous people to do things, you know, I'm respecting their time and I'm always shocked when they say yes, because they know that it can impact lots of people.
Love it. You actually already mentioned the next two. We're on the same wavelength, I guess. Here are two more that I like that I put together. There is a difference between failing and failure. Failing is trying something that you learn doesn't work. Failure is throwing in the towel and giving up. And smart entrepreneurs learn that they must fail often and fast.
Yeah, so one advantage that the U.S. has, and it's the last advantage we have, we don't have the resources, we don't have the best educational system, we don't have all the world's capital. What's the one thing we have? Culturally, we accept failure. And when I give this speech and talk all over the world, it's much different. So depending the age of your listener, if they grew up with the Honeymooners, I Love Lucy, or the Simpsons, the story's the same. Homer comes up with a get-rich-quick idea. Mm. It fails miserably, and wait for it, life goes on, okay? Medvedev had me speaking in Russia. They put $1 billion into a startup fund. No takers. Why? Because if you take money in Russia and you lose it and fail, you know, they'll dig up your ancestors. So it really comes down to, we understand Walt Disney, Henry Ford, all failed before they launched their $1 billion companies. They had bankruptcies in their past. Two guys that I worked with at the beginning of my career had a genius idea. What if you hook up a computer to traffic lights? Synchronized traffic, reduced city congestion. City planners didn't get it. They're like, I don't know what a computer is. And Trafo Data went out of business. So Bill Gates and Paul Allen's second company was called Microsoft. It did $16,000 its first year and did pretty good after that. But their first business failed. So there's nothing wrong with failing. Think of what we consider the genius idea. What's the symbol of a genius idea? A light bulb? Edison wrote, you know, he failed 10,000 times. He didn't look at his failure. He just determined that there were 10,000 ways that the light bulb wouldn't work until he came up with one that would. So there's a very fine line between success and failure. And every venture capitalist that you meet will tell you the story of the company that they were ready to pull the plug and it became their biggest success of all time. Okay? So the biggest hurdle to get over in failing versus failure is not to focus on how far you have to go, but pause once in a while and realize how far you've already come. Because you'll never succeed if you give up. But you never know how close you are to success either.
I'm going to breathe that in for a moment here.
Here, I'll give you this one was Henry Ford's, but it's a great one. If you think you can, or you think you can't, you're right.
You're on my wavelength, because that was next. So I'll leave that one out, but I roped it in with two others. In life, you get what you believe you deserve, and plan for ways to get more enjoyment in your life, and you will get more joy out of it. Hello.
Right. Happiness isn't accidental. Happiness is a choice. No one can make you miserable. Only you can make you happy. So if you're not happy, it's just like, I never understood anybody who could live in the world that we live in right now and say, I'm bored. You're bored. Right. No, you're boring. Okay. There's endless things. You are one click away from the world's knowledge, from, you know, billions of videos of any topic that you can immerse yourself into. You know, if I didn't have to sleep, I'd get another 4 hours of learning in you every day.
And if you could split yourself, you would.
Yeah. Do you know that the majority of college graduates in the U.S. never read another book?
After college?
Yeah.
Wow.
Never heard
that. Wow.
What a waste of human potential.
Wow. I can't imagine.
If you only read one book, though.
No. You read Disrupt You. I get it. A career is just a longer trip with a whole lot more luggage. I just think that's clever.
Thank you. And it's true. People think that there's this planned out career because, you know, they grew up with this go to school, get good grades, go to the company, get the gold watch. Okay. Ozzy and Harriet aren't with us anymore. Either is the gold watch. You know, the typical career will now have 10 jobs on it, and in some fields, many more than that. So by choice or circumstance, I can guarantee every person listening's career will be disrupted. You could be the top person. I ran music companies, as we talked about in the break.
Right.
You could be the best sales guy for a music company, the best marketer. When they all went under, okay, in 99, it didn't matter. There was no place in that field to get a job. So if you thought of yourself as a music executive, you're out of work. If you deconstructed and said, what were my skill set and who else could use it, you're creating things like Beats.
Which is, again, leads right into stay relevant. You must keep your career in a permanent beta. That means committing to a lifetime of learning and professional growth, a lifetime of strategy.
Yeah, and you have to think analytically. Most jobs at big companies, your resume isn't first read by a human being. They get thousands in, it's read by a piece of software, and it scans and then picks the ones.
I didn't know that.
Okay, so here's my basic question. What words is it looking for? Wouldn't you want to make sure that your resume and your LinkedIn profile had the best keywords? I put those three pages in the book because I found the chart that everybody uses. If you know the answers to the test, why wouldn't you put them on your test?
I didn't know that, so no, I do. Okay, thank you. Well, and I haven't had the opportunity. I've been on holiday and all that. I haven't had the opportunity to read the book. No excuse. I'm looking forward to reading it in this new year, actually very soon after our interview. I'm going to go home and read it.
I'll come back after you read it because you'll have new questions.
Oh, I love it. Okay, so here's the last one for this time then. Until next time, it is not incumbent on the world to conform to your vision of change. It is up to you to explain the future in terms that those living in the past and present can follow.
It took me 20 years to write that tweet. And let me explain. When I was young and arrogant and knew everything, you know, as we all were in our teens and 20s, I used to come out of meetings, why don't they get it, right? In a meeting with the CEO of Pepsi on the floor in Armagh, New York, and I'm walking down the hallway and it's all IBM Selectric typewriters going, oh, they're not going to understand this computer idea. There's not a computer in the building, right? This was, you know, whatever, decade ago. But what I realize now that I have gray hair and I'm on the wrong side of 50 is it's not up to people to understand the future that you're going to. Whatever got them to that C-suite in that corner office, they believe is the right path. Look, they're sitting there. They believe it. It worked for them. They don't realize that the world has changed since they got there. So if you can explain your vision of the future in a way that people living in the past can understand, you'll be infinitely more successful. And that's all it takes, is that little insight. Solve for the individual, not for the company. Explain in a way that one person gets it, and the doors will open.
Wow. Brilliant. Brilliant, fun. I can't thank you enough. JaySammit.com, JaySammit.com. The book is Disrupt You. Actually, what's the long title of the book?
Master Personal Transformation.
How long do I want it? That's long enough.
how to thrive, and God, you're
touching me on the sorry. Head. Sorry.
There's a subtitle that I haven't memorized.
Sorry, I couldn't find it real quickly either. I just know it as Disrupt You. We just disrupted the whole interview with that. And thank you for that, actually. What was the offer again?
There's a companion workbook to help you work through exercises to come up with your ideas and flush out your ideas. And if you go to jsammet.com or reach out to me on Twitter at jsammet, I'll send you the 40-page companion book completely free so that you can get on your journey and hopefully it will aid you.
Well, this has been brilliant, and I haven't had this much fun in a long time, maybe because I feel like this is the year of disruption. May it be that for all of us. For all of you listening, do take advantage of this wonderful offer. Thank you again to Kimber for having you on the show, and I mean for getting you on the show. And I'm trying to find the title because I liked it. Here we go. Disrupt You: Master Personal Transformation, Seize Opportunity, and Thrive in the Era of Endless Innovation.
There you go.
Okay. And so with that, thank you, J. Allen Sammet. This has been a real pleasure, and I look forward to doing more with you and reading your book really soon.
Thanks.
It's been a pleasure. And when we come back here on the Life Changes Show, Will Arnold is going to bring in the new year with some music right after this.
There are self-help seminars costing thousands of dollars guaranteeing miraculous transformations. There are compelling speakers and life-changing weekend experiences where you can walk on fire. They all deliver revelations that guarantee you'll come back for the more expensive revelations filled with even greater wonder next month on Fiji. We get addicted to positive, heartfelt, expensive theater. What we really need is a jumpstart, an awakening, someone who can give us a reminder that everything we need lies within. Through inspiration and practical knowledge, Dorothy Donahue helps people get grounded and motivated, inspired and energized. It's not just words and affirmations and the power of intention. It's a mindset brought about by a tangible, transcendental experience, an audio-visual, physical, spiritual experience that helps us realize we transform ourselves. We get tools to become the conscious co-creators of lives of unlimited potential. Find out more. Go to DorothyDonahue.com.
You are listening to the Life Changes Show live from Studio NoHo on the BBS Radio Network. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows, which include luminaries such as Mariel Hemingway, Shadow Stevens, Gary Zukav, and Kyle Cease on our website at lifechangesshow.com. You can also follow us online via Twitter at Life Changes Show and at Facebook at The Life Changes Show.
We're back. We're in the studio now with Will Arnold has joined us and also John Gardner. But Will is a violinist and you're also a martial artist.
Yeah, that's actually why I moved to L.A.
You moved to L.A. for martial arts.
I did.
And so you just thought you'd pick up the violin to help you be a great martial artist?
Along the way.
Sir.
Yeah, why not? It's a cool town. There's a lot of art here. You can pick things up. No, it's been a fun journey the last few years. I actually grew up in Michigan. I've been playing the violin since I was 8 years old. But I took a break during college while I worked for Bank of America. And after graduating, I went down and started working for B of A at their headquarters in Charlotte. And early on into my career, I found that I was overweight and depressed and drinking way too much. And my life was falling apart. So I decided to get healthy again and began studying Sistema, which is an ancient Russian martial art that up until the last 20 years has only been used by KGB and Spetsnaz.
Wow.
And basically what it is, it's a form of meditation through movement. There are no moves, there are no techniques, there's nothing to memorize. We do drills and combat-based training to drop into just the present moment. And in my training, I lost about 80 pounds in 2 years.
Wow.
Depression left, I stopped drinking. And I started training some Marines and Green Berets and people with PTSD. And within a few months, their symptoms were gone. So I realized there is a dire need for that type of training and conditioning, especially in our culture right now, especially as just men in America, to teach us to greet aggression and fear by relaxation.
You're so soft-spoken and you do martial arts.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you play the violin.
I do.
Obviously, yeah, we're not talking drums here. So,
well, Sistema brought me back to the violin because it taught me to relax through my own movement and trust my own intuition and not have to think or plan or get caught in my ego. Basically, it teaches us on a nervous system level to occupy a flow state, or what a musician calls the pocket. So then applying that to violin, I was able to let go of a lot of my classical conditioning and just feel patterns and experience music. And since then, I can improvise and jam with bands of any different genre. And
you're going to do that right now, right?
Right,
you're
now.
This is improvised?
This is all, everything we're going to do here is improvised.
Okay, and you're going to do it
John
with
knows his lyrics,
John Gardner.
John Gardner, yeah.
So okay.
John
Hello.
Is a beautiful
Hello.
Friend
Welcome.
And collaborator, met in Charlotte. And that's another interesting story.
I'm sure. Yeah. Well, does this have a title other than improvisation number one?
Yeah, let's just do improv number one.
Okay, well, how about first improvisation of 2016 on the Life Changes
that.
Show
yeah.
with Will Arnold and John Gardner.
Bring in the new year. Here we go.
Thank you. Okay. Thank you. Will Arnold and John Gartner. I think I heard like at least three different musical influences in there.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay. Definitely. At least three.
At least three.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
No, that's the
many more.
The beautiful thing about the flow. And plus with two instruments and musicians, we're able to just feel that pocket together and occupy that space without stepping on each other's toes too much or worrying about who's doing what or what key signature and or what notes we're playing.
Yeah, well, awesome. Well, very cool. Feel, yeah. Now with John, you have a band called Veal Young.
Yes.
That's just one of the five bands you work with.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
So that's
talking about different influences.
Yeah, it's been fun. I honestly quit like Bank of America. I moved to LA. I started working for Greenpeace for a year. That introduced me to all sorts of different people and artists. And along that path, I've just been sharing the music and especially the martial and healing work as often as I can with everyone. And that's led to the first band was playing a show at the House of Blues the week before it closed. And
wow.
From there, I've been meeting more and more musicians and was grateful and blessed enough to meet Mark while performing with another artist named Samuel Jay. And
it was awesome.
Yeah.
Also.
Yeah.
But it was okay. Well, actually, with the work that you do with John, and John has his own work, right, mm-hmm. John?
Yes.
You could find them at, I love this, GQ Baby Jesus, is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. So
on all social networking.
So Instagram, SoundCloud, they can hear the music and find you at GQ Baby Jesus.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. I'm going to look for you there. All right. So what do we get to hear now?
So now this is a song that John actually wrote. It's called Close Our Tabs, and it's a song that I really love of his. We've been performing it all around Los Angeles for the last year. It's got a good message. Ultimately, what John and I hope to do through music and all of our work is share the messages and feelings that have helped us release a lot of our own fear, a lot of our own baggage, grow, change, and just embrace stepping into our new life, sometimes before we even know what that life looks like. I mean, case in point, I couldn't plan on being on this radio show before, 3 days ago, mm-hmm. 4 days ago?
Right.
And now we're here, playing in L.A. And that started with me standing up in my cubicle in Charlotte, North Carolina, and just looking at myself and saying, this isn't it. It's time to, as this song is called, close our tabs.
So like J. Allen Sam had said, instead of spending 40 hours a week doing something you didn't like, you're now spending at least 80 hours a week doing something you love.
Every moment of my life, every breath, doing something
I love.
I love.
Well, yeah. Well, we're going to do something different now, and you're going to play us out. So
cool. I like that.
I'm going to close out the show by saying thank you to you, Will Arnold, and to John Gartner for being here as our first musical guest of the year. J. Allen Samet, what a pleasure. Disrupt you. He disrupted our just from the first of the year. It's going to be a great year. And thank you to Kimber Cabal for guest hosting or guest producing the show. I'd like to thank here at the top of the year, Brent Hahn for being our excellent engineer here at Studio NoHo, and Doug Newsom at BBS Radio for being our program manager. On behalf of Dorothy Donahue, our executive producer, Mark Legere, our producer, and myself, Filippo Voltaggio, we wish you a most excellent, happy, disrupted new year. And remind you that as your life changes, we're here for you. And with that, Will Arnold and John Gartner are going to play us out.
Well, I think it's time to close our tabs. Throw our bodies up for grabs. Four deep in the backseat, like we're driving cabs. Yeah, I think it's time to close our tabs. Every story ain't been told, and as you can see, our whole crew done broke the mold. And we will do anything except what we're told. The night is young and my body is not yet old, so I think it's time we close our tabs and throw our souls up for grabs. The more the merrier, it's the backseat of a cab. Yeah, I think it's time we close our tabs. for all the drugs. Apparently they love the company of some swagged out R&B thugs. And they're keeping our seats cold in all the hottest clubs. Somebody's paying for this fun. So I think it's time we close our tabs and throw our bodies up for grabs. The more the merrier, it's the backseat of a cab. Yeah, I think it's time we close our tabs.